thank you for your love demonstrated to us not only in Calvary, but in each and every day of our lives. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. And thank you now for the voice of children as we continue our praise and celebration together in Jesus' name. Amen. You may
Christ. But what are some down-to-earth, everyday actions that we can take? Well, I'd like to suggest three of them tonight. Winning ways to witness. The first is that we need to relate. We need to relate to people that are not Christians. We need to get to know them. Some surveys have been taken to find out how long it takes before a new Christian becomes ineffective in knowing non-Christians. Now, it's kind of hard to explain exactly what that means. I hope you understand that when a person accepts Jesus Christ as Savior, we tend then to start going more and more deeply into the life of the church, and we get involved in church activities and Sunday school and growth groups and services and activities, all kinds of things, and we start building most of our friendships with fellow believers until research shows most Christians get to the point where they are, for all practical purposes, ineffective because we don't know non-Christians. Do you know when that point of ineffectiveness normally comes, how long it takes to get there before we don't know non-Christians? On the average, it takes 9 months. So that after 9 months, most new Christians have run out of relationships where they can share Jesus Christ as Savior. So the first thing we need to do is to relate. The second is to share. In other words, once we build a relationship with someone, then we need to begin to share our lives. Not necessarily a full-blown gospel presentation, but at least beginning to plug in the difference that Jesus Christ makes in life. And then ultimately what we are concerned about is to persuade. That we actually persuade people to make a personal commitment to the Son of God as the Savior and the Lord of life. So, those are the three steps that we want to talk about how we can do in our time together tonight. When we say relate, we mean to build a personal relationship which will win the privilege of sharing Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus Christ may never be mentioned at all in this relating phase of witnessing. In fact, too often, I think, we assume that we're going to meet someone on an airplane or on a bus or out in the street or in a shop, and within a few minutes, we're going to move from first acquaintance to full gospel presentation. Hey, you know that life doesn't work like that. Very rarely can things be put together that quickly. What are some steps that we can then take in order to relate to people so that we can win the right to share and then to persuade? Well, we can begin by serving. Most significant model, I suppose, it's in all the New Testament, is that we serve one another. Not just fellow Christians, but we serve the people that don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, here's a lengthy list, and I hope that you won't necessarily write down every item on the list, but that you'll write down some things that you might do to people that you meet or that you already know so that you can serve them. Just help them out in their areas of need. Maybe the person needs a babysitter. Is there someone in your neighborhood who maybe is tied down because of a child and tied down because of the limitation of finances, where if you were to simply offer one day a month of taking care of that family's children, it would be a service that would be deeply appreciated and would begin to build a relationship. Or maybe there's a neighbor for whom you can mow the lawn or rake the leaves or shovel the snow. In October, you can probably do all three here in Minnesota. Maybe you have a neighbor who's about to undertake the painting of his house, and he wants to get it done before the weather gets so cold that it freezes at night and you can't use latex paint, or else he's planning to do it next spring. If you've ever painted your house, as I have a couple of times, you know that it takes lots and lots of work and lots of hours, especially if you're not a pro and can't really move too quickly. But if someone will come and help you, how much more quickly you can do it? Can you imagine the relationship that you can build with someone by spending a few Saturdays or taking a few vacation days in order to help that person paint his or her house? hours together, hours of conversation, hours of building a relationship, hours of serving, hours of winning a right to bear a testimony and witness. There are lots of people that you may be able to serve by repairing things in their home or by repairing their car or some tool or appliance, helping them out in some way where they're perhaps mechanically inept, but that's a skill that you have. And you have tools that can be used. You can serve them in that way. Perhaps it's someone who's ill to whom you can take meals. Or there are people who need rides. The next time you hear about someone whose car has broken down, or someone who has one car in the family and people are limited at home and can't get to places, how about saying, look, I've set aside an afternoon next week when I'll take you to run all the errands you want. You don't have to worry about the time, the gas, or anything. I'd just like to help you out in that way. There are people who, when they're in the hospital or in nursing homes, have almost never had anyone visit. Maybe you've been in the hospital and you had so many visitors you wish that people would stay away, but you also know that the other side is pretty tough. When you're down and people don't care, what about the next time someone from work is sick? How about taking those few extra minutes to either call or visit almost every day and ask if there's anything that they need done? Maybe they have an errand that has to be run, a lawn that needs to be mowed, a problem that needs to be solved. How about running for a civic government office? Have you thought about that? We have a number of people in Wooddale who have done that and have built all kinds of special relationships and have served Christ in the community as that means. Why not consider now, not for this year, of course, but for a future time of running for the school board or becoming involved in city council or some other place where you can represent Jesus Christ in a special relationship. All kinds of people have interests and skills in terms of tutoring. Children that need to learn the English language as a second language, or those that have problems in math or history or English or some other subject. And you could help out simply by offering your skills and your services. You can relate to people also through entertaining. High on the list is sports events. Here in Minnesota, that's a high priority for lots of people. I would be willing to ecclesiastically forgive anyone that buys a season ticket for the Vikings, if in fact they ever play again, by allowing you to buy not one set of season tickets, but two sets of season tickets. And if not for the Vikings, then for one of the other athletic teams, with the intent of always inviting some non-Christian to go along. Again, there are hours that can be spent together. Instead of just investing in tickets for your own entertainment, your own good, you can still enjoy the game, you can still have a marvelous time, but always plan to take someone else along with you. The same thing with hunting and fishing. Here are hours that can be spent together hunting down ducks or deer or fishing on the opening day or some other time during the season. Maybe that's the place where you can use your boat or you can use your rod and tackle and reel for Jesus Christ's sake, by inviting other people to come along. Perhaps inviting along children whose parents either are unable or unwilling or for some other reason do not include those types of activities in their family routine. And so you can build a relationship with that family, with that children, those children. Are you planning to go see the leaves next weekend? Why not invite someone to go along with you? How about inviting people into your home for a meal and scheduling a dozen times during the rest of 1982 and up to this time in 1983 when you'll have people over just to get to know them, not to present the gospel to them, but to build a relationship? Invite people out to lunch. Have you gone on a vacation recently to somewhere? Have you taken pictures? Why not find out where your neighbors have gone and spend an evening together simply showing those slides or interacting about the places that you've been? The next time you have a party, invite someone to come along who wouldn't ordinarily be invited to a party, not just Christian friends, but non-Christian friends as well. So we can serve, we can entertain, we can join. The PTAs in our schools are usually looking for people to sign up and become involved. There are all kinds of hobby clubs, whether your interest is in collecting rocks or fixing old cars or traveling to Scandinavia or whatever it may be, all kinds of clubs with all kinds of people where you can build a relationship doing and enjoying the things that you like the best. Every community has service clubs and political parties and athletic teams and opportunities for continuing education, whether it's at the high school or Normandale Community College or someplace else where you take a class in art or in auto repairs. Well, you know the list because you see them in the newspaper and you hear about them all the time. But that's where people are. The way to relate to non-Christians is not normally in the context of a church gathering. We need to go where people are and build relationships to them. As part of that relating, we can then also begin to invite. Invite them to places where we can show through that we are Christians. It may be a congregation social. At least two of our congregations that I know about, and probably others as well, are planning in the next couple of months to have socials that are specifically geared to inviting non-Christians. Not that there's going to be a full-blown gospel presentation, but there will be an opportunity to get to know other believers and see them having a delightful, fun time and to be attracted to those that know Jesus Christ and whose lives are different because of him. Neighborhood Bible studies, retreats. Ken has already given you a promo for that. Why not plan to go next year, but not alone and not just with somebody from Wooddale, but invite a non-Christian, an unchurched person to come along. We've found that children's clubs here at Wooddale on Wednesday night are a marvelous way to bear witness in our own community by inviting children and filling up our station wagon each Wednesday night. Our church elders have suggested that we have the Dobson film series, a series of 7 films that are about marriage and the family and related topics, particularly as a means of outreach. And so we're going to schedule them for the first part of 1983. Now, they're great films, and they'll have a great impact on your family and mine. But that's not the primary purpose. The primary purpose is to realize that this is where people have needs and interests, and they're willing to come to something like that that they probably would not otherwise come to a church service. We're planning to have, as a church family, some money management seminars. Again, not primarily to present the gospel, but to explain to people principles so that they can learn how to manage their money, guidelines that come from Scripture. Instead of just coming alone, why not invite someone that you know that is particularly interested in building a budget or handling money better, or someone that has problems, or someone that's successful and would like some additional ideas. Our aerobics classes start the week after next. Again, an opportunity to relate. We're talking about having parenting classes. We have plays from time to time in the life of the church. And, of course, Friendship Sunday, which is an opportunity to invite people to church services, and there are other opportunities as well. In other words, we got to get started. We have to build a relationship with people. It would seem to me that everybody here could do at least one, if not many or most, of the items in that list. Build relationships with non-Christians. Once we have then served them, driven them, mowed their lawns, painted their houses, gone fishing or hunting or invited them to church, once we've spent those hours together, then we have won a hearing so that we can increasingly share. To share is to put the gospel content to the relationship that's been built in order to move to the next step, and that is to persuade people for Jesus Christ. How do you share? Well, you don't take that person that you've shared the travelogue with and sit them down and say to them, I want to read a book to you, and that book happens to be the Gospel of John, and you read it through from chapter 1 all the way through to the end. But instead, you begin to interject your testimony into the conversations that you have while you're painting the house or fishing or going to a Vikings or Twins game. You begin to talk about the difference that God has made in your life. Just a passing comment. That the thing that you were concerned about last week has been taken care of, and that you prayed about it, and that God answered your prayer. It's not something that requires a response or an answer. Just something you say and interject into conversation. Tell the person that you're coping with some problems, and they're tough, but that God's making a difference, and that you've turned them over to him. Tell them that you have a different perspective on life, that you think of everything in terms of God, whereas you used to think of everything in terms of yourself. Again, just a sentence or two, just a word that's interjected. Tell about your conversion experience. Say, oh, life used to be a lot different for me before I was 19. And it was then on the university campus that I became a Christian. Wow, have things changed since then. Again, not necessarily a full explanation of all that has happened, but an introduction, maybe a teaser, just a mention of your personal testimony. Increasingly, talk about the difference that God has made in your life, or if that runs out, talk about the difference that God makes in other people's lives. You might mention to someone that faces one of the difficulties that's listed in the news and needs tonight, that you were just reading that at church the other day, and you read about someone who asked for prayer for this very same problem. They have a relative who had a stroke. They had someone who died in their family. They're facing unemployment. Mention that. Mention stories that you hear from your congregations on Sunday morning. One of the things that I miss out on because I'm here in the services on Sunday is all the marvelous testimonies that are shared in our adult congregations of the differences that God is making in life. If the person is an accountant, or the person is a truck driver, or the person is a school teacher, why not then talk to the people that you know that have the same profession or a similar need or experience and say, hey, last Sunday at church, I heard somebody tell a marvelous story that I just want to pass along to you. One that you'll be interested in because they also teach school or drive a truck or function as an accountant. The things you hear from the witness stand, newsmakers, people like Chuck Colson and others who have shared their testimony. Why not pass that testimony along? Just interject it into the conversation of relationships. A recent book that you've read, or maybe this week you're going to be talking about the marathon that was held this morning, jointly sponsored by Pillsbury and WCCO, Twin Cities Marathon. Probably in the newspaper tomorrow morning and on radio and television tonight, a topic of conversation. Are you familiar with the story of Chariots of Fire? It was mentioned on the radio today that there were reminders of that music and that movie and that story of a Christian who was one of the greatest runners in the world. Mention that. Explain it. Tie it in with current events. Insert counsel so that you share with people biblical advice. Someone says, well, I can't decide whether or not I ought to lend money to a relative who really needs some money. You say, well, the book of Proverbs has some advice about lending money. Would you like to know what it says? Would you like to know what it says? If you don't, you look it up and you look it up for them and tell them what it is. Or perhaps a Christian book. You talk to someone who has a special need in life and you say, well, I think I saw in the Northwestern bookstore a book that related to that. Let me see the next time I'm there if I can get it and pick it up for you and I'll give it to you as a gift. Or maybe you've heard a cassette tape, whether it's something like from the men's retreat or something that we have here at Wooddale or some seminar or program that you've been to. Take that cassette tape and share it with a friend and say, I think you'll find this interesting. Now look, don't lay a heavy trip on them where there's this tape with a sermon that explains everything in one shot, but relate to them where they are in a tape that will minister to them to meet that specific need and begin to interject the truth of Scripture. Introduce them to Christian friends. Maybe you, again, have someone that you know who has a special need, and you can say, hey, I know somebody that's been through just that thing. Why don't we set up lunch together and put it together, and they can tell their story to you. Also through the media, books and magazines, encouraging people to listen to KTIS or cassettes. The next time you have people over to your home for coffee on a Saturday morning or on a Thursday afternoon, what do you have as a magazine on the coffee table? Or which radio station do you have on? That type of sharing and interjection into the relationship that's been built will be a significant next step in that witnessing process. The third step is to persuade. Just as a salesman has to close his sale, the Christian must bring witness sooner or later to the point of decision. There's several ways that you can do this, and you have to seek wisdom from God as to which is appropriate, because it's different for different people. One is a very direct approach. I did something a while back that I've not often done, but I was pleased with the response that I got. man that I had gotten to know and spent a lot of time with who was not a believer. We talked about his needs and problems and did some fun things together. And finally, I said to him one day, you know what we've been talking about. You know we've talked about the gospel. And you know that it's been several months now. And he was a salesman, so I said, as a salesman, you know that sooner or later the sale has got to be closed. And he got a big grin on his face. He knew what I was talking about. And I could say that to him because of the relationship that we'd built. And I said, hey, we need to close this sometime. You've got to make up your mind. You've got to buy or not buy. You've got to decide for Jesus Christ or not. I'll tell you what, I proposed to him that the next time we were going to get together, which was about 10 days later, that by that time I was really going to lean on him and say, come on, today's the day you got to make your decision for Jesus Christ one way or the other. I got a call from him before that next appointment, and he told me that he couldn't wait until that next time and that he had decided to pray to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. If you build the relationship, there's nothing wrong with a direct approach. It works fine. It's not tough at all because people know where you're coming from and you know where they're coming from. If you don't feel comfortable with that, another way to persuade is through a link-up. In other words, you introduce that person to someone who can take a direct approach for you. Maybe you can never bring that person to a decision for Jesus Christ. Well, don't let it slide off at that. Get that person together with someone who can, someone who has the gift of evangelism, someone who has the training, someone who has the skills. Link them up together. Be upfront about it. Say, I'd like to introduce you to someone who can make that kind of a difference and tell you how to become a Christian. A third way, which I think is probably the least effective, is what I would call a systems approach or an indirect approach, that you expect the system to do it. So you bring someone to church and that you hope then that someone else will meet your friend or people from the church will visit, that there will be an evangelistic meeting, a Billy Graham crusade that you can take the person to, or through evangelism explosion, a call in the home can be made, and then you turn it over to someone else. I don't think that's the best way, but it's an okay way. It's a fine way. Use one of those means, and then you've gone the whole gamut from relating, just getting to know people and building a relationship, to sharing the difference that Jesus Christ makes in your life, to persuading them to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, every talk and every sermon is supposed to have some kind of an illustration and a story or a poem or whatever that you're supposed to do, and that's the idea in convincing people, yeah, I can do it. I've got a better illustration tonight, a real live one, and I'm going to ask Doug Fagerstrom if he will come and stand up here with me and share a little bit of something that happened to him that he told me in passing this past week and I thought was great, and in 2 minutes, be a great illustration. Come on, Doug.
And go through the sermon again. 2 weeks ago, Pastor shared one of the sermons on evangelism, and if you were here and you recall, it was the one on sharing the bad news, sharing the good news, and then your news. And that sermon really gripped my heart, and I really went away from that particular service concerned about my own personal evangelism and had felt just a little bit dry in my own life because even though evangelism has been happening in the youth and the singles area and interns and other people I'm sharing ministry and life with here at Wooddale have been involved in sharing their faith, I personally had not had an opportunity or taken the opportunity to share my faith in the last few months and was feeling a little bit dry in that area. And one thing I did during the sermon that I hope none of you have done tonight was kind of going through this list in my mind, thinking of all the excuses. For example, I thought, well, maybe I could babysit for the neighbors, but I never get enough time with my own daughter, I feel. Mow lawn, my wife mows our lawn. Sorry, women. Rake leaves, we pray for the wind to do that, and it did it last year, and we never had to rake leaves. Shovel snow, one of the singles did that for us this year. paint. I had to have that taken care of this year. I never got to it. Repair, my wife informed me before the service that I got to go home and pull the drain trap out and get bananas out of that. Take meals, I would love to, but you've never eaten my cooking. Give rides, my truck is available, but I'm often not. Visit, I love to do that, but that just doesn't seem to fit. Civic office, I'm not sure what those always are. And tutor, I could probably use one myself. I went through all those excuses and still did not come out with the right answer of what I needed to do. But Pastor, at the end of that sermon, and these are the sermon notes, shared 3 points. Personalize your own presentation. And I said, Lord, you know, I've done that, and I've had plenty of time in my life to do that. And then the second point was practice on yourself or on another Christian. And I had to confess, Lord, I've had plenty of opportunities to have that kind of practicing exposure and opportunity. Then the third one was the one that really gripped my life, and that was pray for God to give you the joy to lead another to Christ. And so that really stuck in my mind Sunday evening 2 weeks ago. And then on Monday morning in our staff prayer time, I just prayed, Lord, I really want to lead someone to you this week. I don't know who. I don't have a list of people who are non-Christians that I feel are ripe and ready and I can just go to and share the gospel and be direct. And Lord, you know what the week looks like with a retreat coming up this weekend, but I really want to pray that prayer that Pastor shared with us. And so I audibly prayed that prayer with the staff. And you know, you always get in trouble when you pray those audible prayers around people expecting something to happen. Well, Wednesday rolled by, nothing. Thursday rolled by. Friday rolled by, and it was time to get ready to go on a retreat. And the week was, in a sense, closing out for me. And then about 11 o'clock, I started feeling a little bit perky. Now, perky to us Americans means we're all happy and ready to go. Perky in Australia, we learned out, in that your body begins to work like a percolator. Well, mine was beginning to work that way, and I was feeling a little bit under. And so I called up my luncheon appointment, which I don't know if I've ever done, and canceled that, which I think was a first for me because I was going to go home early and get some rest. Well, that was for 11:30 that I would have been gone. And then I was trying to be home by 12. Well, right as I was getting ready to leave, I ran into a young man who I'd never seen before, and he wanted to talk to someone. And we ended up talking together, and an hour and a half later, he ended up receiving Christ as his personal Savior. And you may think, yeah, that's easy for a pastor to say. That's just where people come to receive Christ. That's not true. And in fact, I don't know if I've ever experienced that before, where someone just came walking in. And I know it was an answer to prayer. Pastor, thanks for the 3 points. And I just would encourage you to pray a prayer like that too, because God is faithful to his word and wants to see others come to know him.
Stay here and lead us in a song in just a minute. But why don't we all do that? Why don't we pray that God will give to us an opportunity, make it a daily prayer, an opportunity to relate to other people, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share what's happening in our lives and persuade other people to come to know him. Who knows? This week, this month, certainly this year, God will give to us the answer to that prayer and the opportunity to have winning ways to witness. Let's now sing together.